Morning everyone, how are we? Sorry, just working out phones and microphones and everything else. Today we're going to be talking about Jesus and feeding a couple of thousand people. 5,000, 10,000, somewhere like that. But I thought instead of listening to me for all of it, I might get my daughter to come up and she's going to read the passage for us. So Annabelle, come on up. Annabelle was jumping for joy when her father told her to do this. Hang on, you're talking to this. Yep, here we go. Up there. Big voice, nice and respectful. Let's go.
Give me a second. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have only here 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. When the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over, the number of those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children.
Thanks, Gail. Beautiful. All right, let us pray. Lord, thank you that we have the opportunity to come around your word once again. I just pray that through this passage you will teach us something, learn us something, and draw us closer to you. Amen. All right. I think this is the second or third time I've preached, so I thought I'd better start giving my sermons titles so it sounds a bit more professional. So the title is "I Can't, But God Can." So I think we've all heard this passage a few times. There's a lot of people with no food. Jesus made some food and everyone is fed in the end. But let's see if we can get a bit more out of it than that. But before we go into the main event, I want to spend a few moments in verse 13. So verse 13 says that when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. So hearing of what? A few different translations and commentaries have a few different answers for this, but most probably we're talking about the previous passage. Now, we didn't read the previous passage last week, but it's the beheading of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, and Herod, at the request of a dancing girl, decided to have his head taken off. Jesus would have known John the Baptist as a child, or from pure childhood, and even though Jesus was God, he still had human emotions, including grief. In this time, Jesus tried to withdraw from the crowds and have some time to himself. And what happens? Up to about 15,000 people find him. Have you ever had something like this happen to you? And how did you act? You need some alone time, it's been a tough week, you've had some sad news, you're so tired and you just need some peace and quiet. But nope, someone needs something, someone has to come and ask you 1,000 questions. I know in that moment I don't always act so wisely, but Jesus did. He had compassion on them and he healed their sickness. Time and time again we see Jesus' true character shine through, showing how much we fail in comparison. That verse that we read in Ecclesiastes 3, "There is a time for everything and every activity under the heavens." Jesus certainly shows us when to be compassionate, when to get angry, when to love, and when to forgive. Anyway, the main event, the miracles of the fish and the loaves. Thinking of this, I tried to figure out what a miracle is. And I think a miracle is an event that we think or seem to be impossible, or that we think we need special powers to do, or that it was a surprise that it was done or it was achieved. But to the person performing the miracle, it isn't a surprise. The disciples are always surprised time and time again when Jesus performs his miracles. But I'm pretty sure Jesus is sitting back going, of course this is possible. Anything is possible with God. As we read through this passage, three things stood out to me. The disciples brought their problem to Jesus. Jesus asked them to bring everything they had. And then Jesus' provision took care of the rest. So the first point, bring your problems to God. The disciples, in verse 15, the disciples go to Jesus and present him with the problem. Maybe not expecting Jesus to fix the problem, but we can overlook that part for now. They wanted him to send the people away so they could eat. Bringing our needs to God is one of the first steps in having faith in Jesus. And this is where I struggle. I think God knows our needs, but having us bring those needs to him, I think, is more of a benefit to us than to him. Who of us in the room has been in a scenario where we just finished a big project? Maybe we're digging a 50-metre trench for some pipe, painting a house with a small paintbrush, moving house by ourselves. You just get the job finished. Might be a day, might have been a week, but just as you finish, a mate shows up. And what does the mate say? You should have asked for help. I've got a trencher you could use. I could have helped you move some boxes. We spend all this time working and stressing to get it done in our own capacity, and we don't want to ask for help. Why is that? I think it's pride. Pride to say at the end of the job, look at what I did. But the last time I checked, pride can be dangerous. In Psalm 10 verse 4 we read, in his pride the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts there are no room for God. I think that's a pretty powerful verse just in itself. In not asking God for help, we leave him out of the equation. We stumble alone, trying to do it in our strength. All the while God is sitting on the sidelines saying, just let me help you. Philippians 4:6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is where I struggle. I tell God my burdens and needs, but not over and over. Somehow I think I will bore him with my requests, or he will get sick of my whinging. But we're told to pray, and to pray without ceasing, to bring all our burdens to him. That's the tough bit, I find. I've said this before, and I think I'll say it a few more times. I've come so much closer to God and have a greater understanding of his love and care for me and others since I've become a father. And yes, probably because of the, oh God, what have you done to me prayers, but mostly for the love that I have for my daughter. I don't want to see my daughter want for nothing. I always want my daughter to tell me her needs and her problems. I don't want her to struggle and watch out if someone harms her. And seeing her be hurt or sick pulls at your heart like nothing else. This being said, back up in verse 13, I can only imagine the emotion in God's heart when he had compassion on the 5,000 that was there and healed their sickness. But if my daughter is struggling with something, homework, friends at school, not enough money for lollies, I want to know about it and I want to help most of the time. But the communication between my daughter and me is what will keep our relationship strong. And I think this is the same with us and Jesus. In the same line, Jesus wants us to bring our problems to him. He is the type of father who always wants to be involved in his kid's life. So point one was bring our problems to God. Is that all? Well, not really. Point two, God will often ask for our part in the solution. It might be our time, it might be our money, it might be our 5 loaves of bread, it might be our job, it might be moving to another country. But more often than not, it is our all. God isn't interested in our 1 fish or our 2 loaves. He wants our best. He wants our first fruits. If the disciples had said to Jesus, "We have 5 loaves and 2 fish, but here's 1 loaf and 1 fish, because we want some for ourselves," I think the end of the story would probably be a little bit different. How tempting is it for us to not be able to afford our tithes and offerings? Unexpected bills come in, the car breaks down, or we treat the tithe as what is left over after we've taken what we want or need. And after what we want or need, there's usually not much left. In giving our all, we're saying, "I trust you, Jesus, to provide all my needs." Sometimes you may say, "But my all is nothing compared to what God will do." Or, "If God can feed the 5,000, then he doesn't need my small contribution." But how wrong this is. In Mark 12:41, we read of the widow who put 2 copper coins in the offering while the others were throwing in large amounts. And Jesus responds to this, "Truly I tell you, the poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of wealth, but she gave out of poverty, putting in all she had to live on." Once again, I think this is for our benefit, not for God's. It is only when our faith is tested that we see how God provides and rewards those with strong faith. And you can probably say it is true that if I don't help by putting in my 5 loaves or my time, that he will find someone else. But you miss out on being blessed by seeing what God will do with your faith. I once saw a 19-year-old female refuse a blood transfusion based on her Jehovah Witness faith, even if it meant her life, and it was a life or death situation. Now, certainly I don't agree with her decision, but I do commend her faith, and it's times like these that we can see our faith in action. But I must say here that we shouldn't boast in our faith, but we should praise the provisions of God when we are asked to step out in faith. In the passage we see the disciples have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And what do we see in verse 18? Jesus said, "Bring them to me." Far and away, the most important thing in this story is that the all was brought to Jesus. By bringing it to Jesus, he was able to use it to his benefit. The act of bringing our offering or contribution to God is so much more important than how much we're giving. And sometimes we may think, "I don't know how you're going to do this one, God, but here I am." And that's okay. I think that's what some of the disciples were thinking also. In John 6, we read, based on the same story, another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 loaves of barley and 2 small fish, but how will they go among so many?" But they were still brought to Jesus. And what happened? Well, Jesus happened. Jesus did the rest. He provided the food for the crowd so they were satisfied. He provided the needs for all the people there. There weren't people who went hungry. There weren't extra food that people took home and sold at the markets. Jesus didn't take the 5 loaves of bread and then give the disciples back 10 as a reward of their faith. The need was food for a crowd, and the crowd was fed to satisfaction. Time and time again, God provides for us. But time and time again, we're surprised when it happens. Jesus took what the disciples had and he multiplied it as it was needed for his purpose. We don't have to worry about trying to come up with food for 5,000 people. We don't have to worry about spreading the gospel to 8 billion people. We have to worry about giving God what he's provided us. We need to share the gospel with the people that God put in front of us. And if that's 2 people, if that's 2,000, he wants us to be faithful. And God will do the rest. That day there was 10 to 15,000 people fed for lunch. Even today, if we had to cater for 15,000 people, it would be a nightmare. The catering that happens at some weddings for 100 people is bad enough. But for Jesus, this was just another meal. The disciples wanted to turn the people away so they could find food. But Jesus wants us to come close to him, to learn from him day by day. And if he has to make a few fish to do it, he will. I came across a lady on Facebook. No, I wasn't looking for ladies on Facebook. Her name is Felicity Taylor. Felicity had a thought or an inclination or a mission put on her heart. She wanted to pray for Australia. God put it on her heart to pray for Australia, but it was on her heart to pray while walking. So she is now walking across Australia, praying for the souls of Australia. Her husband, her kids, a support group. They are on day 105 today. They're walking from WA to Queensland, about 2,500 kilometres. Every day she walks about 25 kilometres praying for Australia. God put a mission on her heart and she's being faithful and giving her all to it. I can only imagine how God will work through this act of faith. So in summary, bring our problems to God, no matter how big or small. Bring our loaves and fishes to God, no matter how big or small. And then wait and see God do the rest. And don't be surprised when it's big. Let us pray.